Praise the Lord. I enjoy so much being a part of the Fountain of Life because you never know what God's going to be saying, and we don't have the bulletins out there to give us the roadmap, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the roadmap. On Tuesday, Paul said, "Well, who's going to preach?" And I said, "Well, I have a word." And Paul said, "Well, I have something too." And I said, "Well, you can go first. You know, maybe it fits better with where things were at." And he said, no, you go first." So now I know why I'm supposed to go first. So praise the Lord. What I wanted to talk about today is being fruitful. And I think if we would roll up a little bit what the Lord was saying today, it would fit into that word quite well. So let me go through this and we'll see what God brings out of it. But before that, I just wanted to pray. Thank you, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for how you direct us by your Holy Spirit, how you lead us. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that lives within us, that we have the power of the grave in us. So, Lord, lead us today, we pray. So, I want to start with Genesis chapter 1, 26. It says, "Be fruitful and multiply," as a general word for all of mankind. And to be honest, we've been doing a pretty good job of that as far as populating the earth. It's said to go fill and subdue and have dominion over the whole earth. And it talks about the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the all the creatures that crawl on the earth, right? All the living creatures. So that basically says the whole thing, right? We're supposed to have dominion over that and fulfill and multiply. Like I said, we've been doing a pretty good job of that. I don't know how many billion people there are on the earth right now. I know there has been, Satan has been working on keeping that number down with between wars and adoptions, abortions, and also attitudes of not wanting to have children because of, I think, mainly a lack of hope that people have in their hearts. But we're supposed to have children and multiply the earth. But this word of being fruitful is a little more involved than just having children on the earth and subduing the earth. And that's what I wanted to talk about today. When I was down in Mexico this year, I went to a Explosion de Amor that they had in a state called Querétaro. And while I was there, Ricky had asked me to talk about, to share about character. And in one of the events that they do, it's one of these ones where you have 7 minutes. You stand in one spot and you have 7 minutes to share something. And then you have, I think there were 7 different groups that come through and they ring a bell after 7 minutes and you start all over again and you do it again, right? And so I prepared a little bit, wanted to talk about Moses and God, Moses asking to see his glory, and then God comes and basically express his glory in his character. And I know you guys know a lot of that scripture. Our brother Dale has shared that over the years. But when I got up there to share that and I had it all set, Danny said, "Well, yes, you're supposed to talk about character, but you're supposed to talk about how to get that implemented in your life." I said, "Oh, okay." So now I'm unprepared. That's perfect. When he told me that the first group was coming, right? So when he did that, I began to share about how fruit is grown. And so first I went through character, the character of God, his glory, and then I asked them about the fruit of the Spirit. And you know, each one of those groups and every person in the group, when I asked them what they were, they all quoted all nine of blah, 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 blah. Every one of them knew it, right? I was really impressed because, you know, I would struggle personally knowing them. So they obviously in their churches have worked on certain things to memorize certain things. And it's very, very impressive to me that that's their heart there. But I went through, and that's what I wanted to share a little bit with you. I started sharing with them about the idea that how fruit is grown. So I used us as a tree. And if you look at Psalm 1, verse 3, it says, you know, in verse 2, it talks about meditating on the Word of God and depending on Him. And then in 3, it starts, it says, He will be like a tree planted by the water, bringing forth its fruit in season, and its leaves will not wither. So this is what I shared with them. Actually, I went in to talk about a tree that I know pretty well, which is an apple tree. And I talked with them about how a tree produces fruit. And so I'm going to share that quickly with you before I go on. So the idea there is that you have a good tree, you need to have good roots down into the ground. And it needs to have water for those roots to bring up the nutrients up out of the ground. And so the water is so important for that to flow up through the tree. And it brings out into the leaves all the way out, and it grows the leaves. And the leaves become green from the nice water. But if that's all there was, the tree would die, because you could put that tree in a place where there's no sun, and we know the tree will wither away. And so the next part that you have with the tree is you have the sunlight coming on the tree, and in the leaf, especially the young people, knew this. I asked them, well, what word is that? You know, and they said, oh, it's photosynthesis, you know, and sure enough, that's what happens, is the sunlight comes into the green leaf with the water as its base, and it turns that water into a sugar water through photosynthesis. And then the sugar water flows through the tree, and it goes out, and it grows the fruit. And that's why most fruits are very sweet and to our taste. And they have a good amount of water in them as well. So I shared with them that the water from the ground is like the Word of God that we need to have in our life. It's the basis to bring up the nutrients up out of the soil, and the sunlight is the Holy Spirit that then takes that water, takes the Word of God, and it makes it real to us, so that it becomes something sweet to us that we can grow. And I began to share with them that the idea, if you look at Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Before that, Paul, in verse 19, it talks about now the works of the flesh are evident, and it talks about adultery, uncleanliness, lewdness, idols, sorcery, hatred, all kinds of things. And it talks about them as works. And so the idea there is that it's a work that we do. Work is, you know, when we do work, it's about it's an activity, either mental or physical, that we do in order to produce something, you know, a purpose or a result. So work is to produce a result, something to produce a result, and it's something in this case, that we would do in our flesh that produces all these bad things. But when Paul started to talk about the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, he changes his terminology and he calls it a fruit. Because fruit you do not work for, it just grows. And that's the point of what I was sharing with them. And it was probably different than most of the time what they hear, because they probably hear most of the time, well, you need to pray and get more patience, you know, you need to be kind, you know, you work it up, you know, get it done, right? You know, change your attitude so you can do what you're supposed to do. Be a Christian, you know. And the point here is that I was sharing that fruit, one, takes time to grow. And as you wait for it, you put yourself in the right environment where you have both the Word of God coming into your life and you're seeking the Holy Spirit to come into your life to change, to give you understanding, then the fruit just grows. It's not something you produce, but it's just grown. So God's character is developed in us as a fruit because it's grown. It's not something we work up. And that's the point. So now I want to turn to Matthew chapter 13, which is another parable we're very used to, which is the parable of the sower. And I'm just going to start right at 18, and which was Jesus' explanation of this. So in 18, he says, you know, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the words of the kingdom, so he's talking about the words of the kingdom as in this case, he's interpreting that the seed is the word that's being cast out, is the word of the kingdom, and does not understand it. So there's the two parts. You got the water in the tree, and then you got the Holy Spirit bringing it to, making it the sugar water. That's the understanding, is what the Holy Spirit brings. So the Holy Spirit brings the understanding. So if it comes and the person hears the words of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. See, we often read a scripture in Isaiah 55 that talks about the word of God, the water coming down on the earth and the snow, and it produces the seed for the sower and the bread for the eater. And then it says that this is like the word of God that proceeds out of his mouth. So I love that part that Isaiah added, the part about what comes out of his mouth, because it's not just the word of God, it's what comes out of his mouth. It's what's important at that point, what was spoken at the right time, because it comes out of his mouth. That's the word, not just the word that we quote, that we don't know anything about. It's not a word that we quote that's not comes with understanding through the Holy Spirit in our heart, but it comes out of his mouth, which speaks of the Holy Spirit. And then it says that word will not return void. But here we see the word of God being put down on the ground, and yet it's being snatched up by the enemy. So it appears that the Word of God didn't accomplish what it was supposed to. But generally we see that there's a there's a word of God that's being just cast about upon the grounds, all kinds of different grounds, and it's to see whose heart is ready and to see how the Holy Spirit is working. So the second one that we see that we understand, so the first one tells us a lot, because one is the seed, is the word of God, and two, the understanding is the issue. Understanding, lots it'll be taken away. The second one, it says that the receives the seed upon stony ground, and he hears it immediately and receives it with joy, but tribulation and tribulation arises, and the word is immediately causing the word to immediately, he stumbles, it says. I'm so happy that God gives us tribulation and persecution. Because in doing that, he allows us to see if the word has really taken root. Without that, we would go on thinking we got it together. And yet it's really not firmly planted in our hearts. So I'm happy that times things don't go well for me. Because in that time, I realize, am I really with the Lord, or am I running with different attitudes? And so this persecution comes, this tribulation comes into our life, and it's a blessing to us. Isn't that what James says? Consider it all joy when tribulation comes. Well, it's to test our faith. It's to show us that we heard, that we understand, that we're firmly founded and grounded. What a beautiful thing. The next one, it says that it was received and heard the word of God, but the cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and it becomes unfaithful. Unfruitful. Sorry. You know, a lot of times we think of the rocky one as the worst, and then the one on thin soil is maybe the second worst, and then this one is maybe the third worst, and you know, it's getting, I mean, you know, more positive, the third one. But my personal feeling is, if we got somebody who hears the word of God and doesn't understand it, there is such a big opening for us to pray and to say, God, bring revelation to that person. And when they receive revelation, then they'll receive the word and they'll change. And the second one as well is that when they go through the persecution and the tribulation, they see they don't got it, and you can pray for them and help them through that. And that's also a good place to be, because the word of God can be given back to them and they can come into the Lord. But this third one troubles me the most, because these people heard it, they're on good soil, but they have cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. And so when you talk with them, they think they already got it together, and yet they have no fruit. But I got a good plant. It looks good. I got leaves. I feel good about it. I just need to make some more money. I just need to take care of these problems I have, and then maybe I'll seek the Lord. So give me one and two over top of three, and we can deal with them. because we have the Holy Spirit to speak into their lives and give them revelation. We're not going to give up on number three either, right? And I bet God won't give up on them either. He'll probably strip their riches and help them with their cares. Peter gave a message about that, not to worry, right? I mean, worry is a big part of human nature, right? So this one speaks to us. It speaks to us all that we don't want to have the spirit choked off or the word choked off in our life. It's a very graphic, word. I don't know if you've had vines. I have some vines that like to grow up around my raspberries, and they'll grow up kind of subtly, and all of a sudden you see them totally wrapped around the plant, and that's exactly what happens, is you don't get that vine off and taken out, then it does choke that plant. It puts pressure around the vine in such a way that it takes the nutrients, takes the water right out of the plant. But number four, he says they heard and they understood, and it was on good ground, and it says that they bore fruit, and it says some 100, some 60, some 30. In John 15:5, it says, "Abide in me, and who abides in me, that's Jesus, will bear much fruit." I like this, the way Jesus told this, in that bearing much fruit, and he talks about 100, 60, 30, and he does it in such a way, normally I would have started the other way around. I would have gone 30, 60, 100, if I was speaking of it. But he did it the reverse order. And I think it's significant that one is just spoken that way, and it's not given in a way that is judgmental for the 30 or the 60. Because I don't think it matters that if you're producing fruit and you're at 30%, or you're producing fruit and you're at 100%. I don't think God looks at that and says, "Oh, this guy did really good, he's 100, and this guy not so good, he's at 30. I don't think that's the way God is looking at this. Because if I happen to be a person that God blesses me and I'm producing 100%, does God want you to be jealous of me if Paul's only at 30? Right, Paul's only at 30, I'm at 100. I feel good about myself, right? I'm important. He's less important. See, that is not the point of this. Usually when people come into the fountain of life, if they have a struggle here, it's because they come in with a mindset of ministry. I have a ministry. You should recognize it. And yet, ministry is something that's, we all do. It's something that is the what God accomplishes through us, but it's not what we're putting our importance on. See, it's not the 100%, and it's not the 30, it's not the ministry, it's not the actual thing that gets produced, except for the fruit of the Spirit. I want 100% of that, but... But But this is talking about, because it's in a percentage, it's talking about something else. And to look at that, I wanted to look at Ephesians chapter 2. If you could turn over to Ephesians chapter 2 for me. I got to find it myself here. Starting at verse 8, it's a verse that we all know. It says, "For by grace we have been saved through faith, and not of ourselves, but is the gift of God, not of works." See, there's the works. "Lest anyone boast." See, we all know that's the case of being saved. It's not by works. But then it says in verse 10, it says, "But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." Now, look at the terminology here. It's saying, we are Christ's workmanship. So when you have a master craftsman making something, he makes something, and when he's done making it, you marvel over how good it is, right? You know, what a beautiful thing that it is. But in the process of creating it, he uses tools. And so I think what this is saying is that he's the workman, you know. He's the workman that's creating us for a purpose. So he's making us like a tool in his belt, right? So that when we accomplish the good works that he has ordained for us, it's using us like a tool, but it's him who's the master craftsman. So even in the process of us ministering or doing things for the Lord, it's really Christ doing them through us and using us like a tool. Sometimes, you know, I have a chisel that gets dull. I got to take it on the grinder and sharpen it up again, right? But so I become his masterpiece. I become his workmanship. And then he uses me to produce good work. When that happens, what we realize, like what it said earlier, is so that no man can boast. So that we together, as the body of Christ, may be accomplishing something together. And that's something that I wanted to reread that Joy read to us when she was here, because it speaks of a fruitfulness that we as the fountain is having. And I know this is not the only fruit of something that God is doing with us, but it certainly brings out this understanding of that we have the Word of God in our life, and we have the Holy Spirit that we're seeking and finding direction, and then we wake up one day and we see that we're more loving. We see that we have joy. We see that we have peace, and we have patience. And you wake up realizing that I want to serve others and be that light, like was talked about today. So anyway, Maybe I'll read the whole thing, but this is the second half that I primarily wanted to redo. This was from Pancho. Joy read it a few weeks ago to us. He says, Pancho is saying, I'm so grateful for each one of you members of the Fountain of Life. And he says that you've been like a blanket of importance, essence in my Christian walk. And then he talks about that I haven't, you know, I didn't have a father nor a mentor or anything, but I see and I feel a father in each one of you. I have respect and for each of you. When I arrived in the life of those in the Fountain of Life, you extended your support and help and left a footprint in my heart. Said, and then he starts the second part and he says, I would have loved to have been here to say these things in person. And then he says, the work that you have done for years has borne fruit. Recently, we've seen that there a great strength in God in this work. The people that you have sent down to Mexico have come with this anointing and support from the whole congregation. You are all a great team, and I miss you so much. I hope to see you soon. So the part about being fruitful is that there's some that have gone down to Mexico. You know, most recently, Tim and Teresa, Paul and Vera, and Robin and I have gone down, and we've shared things. And in the last 2 or 3 years, especially the last 2 years, Pancho and Joy and others have been saying, you know, you guys are coming with a different anointing. You guys are coming down, and people are responding differently. And so what Pancho is concluding here, it's not us who were sent. It's not just us who were sent. It's all of us. Because we've been meeting together on Friday nights and on Sunday mornings and in our own prayer closets. We've been seeking the Lord. We've been reading the scriptures and we've been having this fruit produced in us. And now God is taking the workmanship, creating us in that workmanship that He has created, and He's giving us the good works. That when you're there and you see, when you share something and people's eyes are opened, you just say, oh, glory to God. You know, I'm just a simple guy giving simple words, and yet you are bringing understanding. And so we have seen it, that the strength and the fruit of this place is growing. The fruit has been expanded to Mexico. But today we heard some words that we need to be mothers and fathers to prodigals, for our families, for our friends, for our neighbors. And so our hearts need to expand even more and more as we seek the Lord and understand how He wants us to produce more fruit, to have our hearts completely overtaken, to be like Him, to have His character, the character of Christ, love in our hearts and joy in our hearts and the peace in our hearts and being faithful to do all that He's called us to do. This is the fruit that He's called us to. But it's not something that we produce. It's something that is grown, and it takes time to grow. And so we just need to continue doing what God has been telling us to do. For He is the vine, and all our goodness, all our sweetness, everything we have comes from Him. So don't give up. Don't quit. Yeah. We just need to continue to be faithful, to come before Him and to worship Him and seek Him and understand what His words are to us. Because God is faithful to bring the rain. God is faithful to pour out His Spirit upon us. And so His Word of God is precious. The Bible is precious. And yet we need understanding. And that comes through the Spirit. And that's one reason that we emphasize the Spirit so much. Is because with just the Word of God, we will dry up. Without the Word of God, the Spirit would not have a place to form. Because it's the water that carries the Spirit through the tree to the leaves, and then the Spirit can activate it. So I just want to say today, let's continue to be a good tree. Let's continue to be concerned about the roots. Let's continue to for the gifts of the Spirit to bring fertilizer to the tree. I often like to use that example in this, that it's the fertilizer. The gifts of the Spirit are like the fertilizer, but what we want to produce is the fruit, right? But don't neglect the gifts. But they are just like the manure around the tree, right? By themselves. And then they become part of us because they come through the Word of God and the Spirit comes through and we grow the fruit, or He grows the fruit. The tree grows the fruit. And it's not something that we are doing. So praise the Lord. I'm seeing a bunch of trees. With good fruit ready to be picked. And that's what this world needs, is to come and pick some good fruit and eat the fruit of the Spirit. And have it birthed in them. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise You for Your word. We praise You for Your goodness. And we thank You that You have given us Your Spirit. So, Lord, just continue. As we are faithful to You, we know that You will be faithful to us, O Lord. So, Lord, I pray that You would just continue to multiply and multiply the fruit in our midst, that we would become, even in our old age, more fruitful than ever before. We pray that in Jesus' name. We pray that in Jesus' name, who made us his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, for that he has prepared before that we would walk in him. So let's walk in him. Amen.